Keep your servants from presumptuous sins, let them not get dominion over us. Then shall we be whole and sound and innocent of a great cause.
Amen.
And what would be such a great offense? What is such a great offense? What is any offense against God? The offense against God is putting yourself in place of God. And it's a very tricky thing during Lent for us to keep those things straight, to keep our focus where it belongs. In the gospel today, Jesus goes into the temple and turns over the tables and drives out the money changers. And for most of our lives, we were told that this is because Jesus doesn't like them engaging in this kind of activity in the temple. And didn't like them having money in the temple, but that doesn't really make much sense. That doesn't quite accord with the reality of the situation, but there are hints in the gospel about what's really going on. So, you know what? They had to have money changers. It was like a currency exchange. And they had to get rid of the money that had images on it because those images couldn't be taken into the temple. They couldn't be used by the temple authorities because they had images on them. And we heard in the Exodus lesson that John read for us that images were revoked for the Jews. So they had to have nondescript coins, coinage. And so what happened is they had to take the coins they had and go into the temple and buy the coins. Like when I used to go to the street fair when I was a kid, we had to exchange our money for these tokens that you put into the machine. It's that kind of thing. And then you go and you buy whatever it is that you want to buy, and that's the way the temple system worked. And that's probably not what Jesus is upset about. But what is Jesus doing? Well, Jesus is enacting a kind of prophecy. Jesus is symbolically destroying the temple. And what that represents is God's destruction of the temple. It represents God destroying that temple and exiting. And there are hints about that in the gospel. That's what's really going on. And particularly when we hear Jesus later saying, in response to what signs shall you show us for what you're doing, he says, destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days. And of course, the author of the gospel says, he's talking about his body. His body is the new temple. His body is the temple of the Lord. And we all know that is because Jesus was Son of God. And so Jesus is the incarnate Word. His body is the dwelling place for God. But, you know, because God assumed a human form in the person of Jesus, we are all now temples of God. And that's what we're called to be. And so we also carry that divine within us. We often forget that. We don't think about it. But what we're really called to, and the purpose of Lenten discipline, is for us to get out of the way so that God can enter into the world. We know that God entered into the world in the person of Jesus. But God is also called to enter into the world through each and every one of us. That's our call. Not just as Christians, but as human beings. And if we are to be fully human, if we are to really manifest our humanity, what God created us to be, we have to get out of God's way so that God can enter the world through us. And so we are all of us called to be incarnations of God so that God can enter the world through us. And by entering the world through us, God loves God's myself, and God loves those around us. And that's what Christianity is about. In fact, if you think about it, that's what most religions are about, if not all religions. They are about bringing the divine into the world through getting out of God's way. Now, there's a real temptation during Lent. I have this temptation. You may have this temptation, too. It's like, wow, this is like great. It's a 40-day boot camp life, right? So I'm going to get into shape. I'm going to lose a few pounds. I'm going to get into good spiritual shape. I'm going to do all these things. It's like New Year's, only lasts for 40 days. And you got 40 days to straighten things up. Can any of you do that?
No, I can't do it.
Nah, I don't think so. But we do that, right? We do that. Some of us do that. I do that. I tend to do that. It's 40 days. I'm going to get in shape. God's going to be real proud of me at the end of all of this. But that's not what this is about. And we forget that. And we start to think it's like, you know, I'm going to assert myself. I'm going to become holy, right? How many of you think that? I'm going to become holy. You start with a deeper voice, right? I do that, right? Make noises like that, right? And that's not it. That's not it. Because, you know, what that does is it makes a mockery of the whole thing. But I do it every year. At the beginning, I always do that. But what is this discipline about, then? And why do we go to these problems of not eating meat on Friday or whatever our Lenten discipline is, whatever we've given up for Lent? Why do we do those things? Well, the reason is so that we can empty ourselves. Of what? Of ourselves. And so we can get out of God's way. That's really what the discipline's about. Because there's only one thing that stands between you and God. And you know what that is? You! That's it. And there's only one thing that stands between God coming into the world. And that's you. And that's me. I keep God from coming into the world. I keep God from coming into the world by choosing all of those things that put me first, by choosing to be a spiritual athlete. I keep God from entering into the world. By choosing to put myself first and to puff myself up, I keep God from entering into the world. By choosing to think about Him incessantly, 24/7, I keep God from coming into the world. And you probably do too. You know, Paul talks about that in today's writings. He talks about, you know, our thought process and how, you know, those thoughts keep us from actually understanding who God is or from seeing the wisdom of God, because we're all puffed up in our understanding and in the ways that we see the world. And we think we've got the answers. And so we can't make any sense out of this whole crucifixion business. That's what Paul's telling the Corinthians in today's lesson. You can't make sense of it. Because Greeks demand wisdom and Jews want signs. But neither of those things is right. And what we really need is to get out of God's way and let God enter into the world. And that takes surrender. And that's what all the discipline is about. Surrender. Surrendering is really only about saying yes to God. Most of us know, I know as a rule, when we're doing the wrong thing, don't we? You know, don't you know, really? Maybe God will see. Sometimes I even try to trick myself. Oh, no, I really shouldn't do that. Do you ever do that? Yeah, that really, you know, that really can't be the case. And so I think about, you know, I've got this loop that runs through my mind, and it keeps track. This loop keeps track of every slight that I have received, real or imagined. It keeps track of all the things that I should be upset about, should be upset about. Right? Just in case I don't get upset, I should be upset about these things. I better keep a list. I can come back to that if I need to. Right? So maybe a couple days later, when I got more time, I'm going to be really upset. But right now, I got other things to get upset about. And so I have this list that runs through my mind all the time. And I have this loop, this voice. And you know who that voice probably is? That's the voice of the evil one. And that's the voice that if you heed that voice long enough and often enough, you will end up in hell. In fact, that voice can probably put you in hell right now. It can certainly drive me to distraction. There are times when I would like to reach inside of my cranium and pull that voice out, but I don't know how to get a hold of it. You may have the same issue. But the thing about that voice is, it is that if you really want to let God into the world, if you really want to be a conduit for grace so that God can enter into the world through you, you ignore that voice. Ignore it. Act contrary to what that voice tells you. So when that voice tells you you ought to be angry, don't be angry. When that voice tells you that person over there has done something that is really upsetting to you, don't believe it. And even if they have done something that is upsetting, forgive them. Do the opposite of what that voice calls you to do, and you'll probably be on your way to letting God into the world through you. You'll be a conduit for grace. You see, that voice doesn't want God in the world. That voice that you have internalized is the voice of the evil one. And most of us know, if we have a little space, that voice has messed us up over and over again. Do you have that experience? I can't believe I did that again. I can't believe that I believe that voice again. It's a wonderful thing to be a human being.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
And the most wonderful thing about that is that we can consciously cooperate with God's grace. We can decide that we're going to cooperate with God's grace, and then God comes into the world through us. But we don't do that often. Certainly not often enough. And that's really what Lent is about. That's what our Lenten journey is about. It's really not about giving up cake. It's really not about not eating meat on Friday. It's really not about all of the other things that we do and give up. It's really about preparing us so that God can enter the world through us. So that we can learn to empty ourselves just as Jesus emptied himself when he went to the cross. That kind of emptying is what we're preparing for. And if we knew it, we might actually resist that. We resist it all the time. And so if you are using Lent as an excuse to build up your egos, then you're doing it wrong. If you are using Lent as a way of saying, gee, this is what I did for 40 days, you're making a mess of it. Just let it all go. Put it all down. And try to let God into the world through your presence in the world. And then, in fact, you have learned the true meaning of Lent, and the true meaning of Christianity, and the true meaning of religion. So may we all learn that, and may we all live into that. And may we be the means by which God enters this world.